The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. Also with me is Dr. Boris Nikolov, who happens to be my partner in life and at work. We are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to us live on the radio or on our app, The Cure. Please download it from the App Store. We are also live on Roku, The Cure channel. We started live streaming on Fire TV, Android TV, and GodIsTheCure.com as well. And in a couple of days, listen to the recorded shows via any podcast app. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We are beautiful people, even the outcasts, even the forgotten. Even if we don't fit in well, we look stunning just being ourselves, and we're just trying to figure everything out, though we could use some help. We are beautiful people, even if that's not who we are. Last week, I was interviewed, actually a few days ago, I was interviewed in my book signings and was asked an often question, what is the reason for writing my autobiography? The obvious answer usually is to help others. What I sometimes mention is that I want to show that no matter how bad a person has been or how terrible the circumstances they have endured, they can still heal, move forward, and succeed in life. So many of us are quick to jump to a conclusion when we heard of someone's unfortunate or even scary past, their difficult circumstances or questionable behavior and actions. Do we really know the person? Should we be so quick to formulate an opinion? I have dealt with that stigma most of my adolescence and have even seen it in my adult life. Because of this, no one knew of my past except for Bobby, my husband, until I turned 43 years old and finally told my story from the perspective of the actual person that experienced it for once. Even though it took a long time, it was the right time, because it was then that by the grace of God, I reached the phase of healing and felt successful enough that it might discredit the defeatist stigma of someone that was severely abused, betrayed, and abandoned. When I say successful, I mean successful in the sense that Bobby and I will complete 20 years of a happy marriage this Christmas. We have 3 wonderful kids that love us, 3 dogs that adore us, great loyal friends, and new ones we meet along the way. But most importantly, we never do without anything we need, as long as we have God in our lives. And well, the rest is just all the extras we never expect. But I was super honest in my book, so that no one else can feel too bad of a person, too broken of a person, too hopeless of a person, or even be looked at in that way. Because if there was hope for me, and I turned out okay, found joy and peace through God's unwavering love and endless grace, then there is hope for anyone. And so today, giving us an amazing testimony, an inspirational story of God's unconditional love, how anyone can be rescued from the depths of darkness to the likeness of Christ's love, despite who you are or what you have been through, is our guest today, Kristen Joelle. Kristen, thank you for being on the show. We are now live on The Cure.
Hello there, Amy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Kristen. Kristen, you left such an impressive testimony on Twitter that it took me by surprise. I was intrigued that you were so brave and honest in your testimony, but most importantly, I no longer feel alone because I can relate. And it's difficult to find people with such testimonies or people that are even willing to talk about it or that have done what you and me have done, but I know also that the truth can be very freeing, and it could be, and it can help others. Do you want to start by telling us how it all began for you?
Wow. Well, I was raised Catholic, actually. I've always believed in God and Jesus Christ, but I definitely wasn't living a Christian life. I was involved in many things that were not Christ-like, and honestly, it's all because of my daughter that, I know Jesus Christ today, and then I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Just many things that she had done throughout her childhood just, you know, really opened my eyes and drew me closer and closer to Him. So I'd have to say it's because of the child that I had out of wedlock, and God turned that into a, you know,
blessing. So you grew up a Catholic, and you grew up knowing God, and I suppose you had a difficult beginning. You had challenging circumstances, and from what I'm hearing, it was your daughter that turned your life around, that gave you reason for doing the right thing. And in your testimony, you talk about that Jesus saved you from many different things. Could you talk about your darkest moments and how you were able to pull through?
Wow. My parents got divorced when I was around 12, and then it just pretty much went downhill from there. At the age of 13, I overdosed on drugs and ended up in the hospital and almost died. And then shortly after that, I lost my virginity. And then, you know, I was dating gang members, drug dealers, and ended up getting pregnant at 16 and had my daughter at 17. And then I turned 18 and decided I'd go to the strip club to, you know, make all the money that they talk about that they make. And shortly after that, I met my first pimp, and he took me to Atlanta, Georgia, and thankfully I got away from him within about a week.
And what brought you to that lifestyle? What gave you the idea that this is something that you wanted to do or had to do?
Were you going through difficulties?
Or somebody gave you the idea?
It kind of just came with the territory, like the kind of guys that I was dating.
Your environment.
It kind of was glorified, you know, to be a stripper and, you know, do that kind of stuff. You make a lot of money, and it wasn't really that I needed the money, because honestly, like, I, you know, come from a family that, you know, is, you know, not well off, but okay. So it's not like I was in it for the money. It was just more of like, I wanted to be loved so bad by a guy, and, you know, that.
And somehow maybe the attention that. Somehow the attention that we receive from guys is what makes us feel loved, even if it's the attention as an exotic dancer. I can relate because I did the same thing. I had my daughter when I was 18, not as young as you, and I know that that's very difficult. That in itself, I understand that you said you don't find it difficult, but it was very difficult. And at least for me, I was alone, and it was just, I had no financial support or no way to get through life. I did start out with a not so good family. I would say pretty bad family. But, and so I was pretty alone. And for me, it was the only way to survive alone in the world. But I can see where you're coming from. There is a sense of, you want to feel loved, and especially if you see where it didn't work out with your parents, that you wanted something that was real and that was true for you, and maybe the attention that you received made you feel better. And I read something also that you lived an extravagant lifestyle at one point, and
I mean, well, so after the pimp in Atlanta, I actually ended up going back to the strip club, and that's where I met my second pimp, and he took me to Los Angeles and put me on Sunset Boulevard, and that was a very scary situation for me. I, you know, was left for dead by that one, and, you know, thankfully, by the grace of God, I got, you know, out of that situation yet again, and, you know, but then after that, I met my boyfriend of 5 years who ended up going to prison for convicted murder, so, you know, it's,
wow.
Yeah, but I mean, I made a lot of money in the strip club, but it was more of the recording that I did outside of the strip club.
I can't imagine having pimps and going through that and all that you went through. God bless you for where you are. I really, really am very grateful. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking to Kristen about after the short break, how anyone can be saved by grace, even those of us who least expect it. Stay with us.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. If this is your first time tuning in, we're talking to Kristen Joel with her incredible testimony about being saved by grace. When I hear that song by Andy Grammer, I feel like it's God messaging us. And if you ever want to feel just how much loved you are, then just imagine that those nice, inspirational songs, God's cool like that. He means it too. He will hold on to us no matter what the world throws at us. He will not shake us loose. He will reach his hands out in the darkness and wait for ours to interlock. He will wait for us. He will never give up. Neither should we. We are joined by Kristen. Kristen, earlier before we went into break, I thought you said something about that you were convicted that for murder? Your boyfriend was convicted for murder.
No, you know what the crazy thing is I mean, the kind of guys that I was dating and everything, I've been pulled over, you know, countless times by the police, and it's like literally every time God was there. And, you know, because just being around people that, you know, are selling drugs or, you know, disobeying the law, you can be charged for, you know, just being in the car with drugs. And the only time that I was ever arrested, and they said I was put under arrest, but they never put me in handcuffs, was because I was working for an escort company without, you know, proper identification. But I've never been to jail, which is crazy because, yeah, like, you know, again, with who I was hanging around, I'm surprised that I never saw, you know, behind a jail cell. So, but no, it was my ex-boyfriend that went to jail for convicted murder, and we actually had the undercover police watching our house under two separate occasions. And when they came and got him for murder, you know, we were driving in the car, and I was like, the police are pulling us over again. And once we pulled over, I mean, it was just like a swarm of police surrounded the car with, you know, guns drawn on us. And they asked me, they're like, do you know why he's getting arrested? I was like, no.
Like, you didn't know he had murdered someone?
No.
Did you know the circumstances surrounding the murder?
Oh, no.
Oh. You must have been very surprised.
Because the thing with his friends is, like, they always used to call me, like, they would say I'm, like, the police, like, or, like, a snitch, kind of, because even though, like, yeah, I was dancing or whatever, but, I mean, technically dancing is not illegal, and, like, you know, so they would always say that I would, like, you know, call the cops and stuff, and
they didn't trust you.
You know, so they didn't really like me, but I never really condoned what he was doing. It was just more of the fact that I wanted to be loved, you know, by somebody. And, you know, I did it for 5 years. I mean, he was in prison for one of those years, and I stayed around for him, and so
Well, sometimes when we try to find love, we sometimes find it in the wrong places. We don't always know who's the right one. That's why when it came to my husband, I left it in God's hands. I said, I know I'm not good at picking them. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. So, yes, I got you. But, so he went to jail. And what happened after that? What was the pivotal point that you said, hey, wait a second, this is not right. I really shouldn't be doing this. I know God. I grew up with God. And these friends that I'm having and this environment, this stuff that's going on, it doesn't feel right. When did that point come about when you acknowledged God's presence in your life?
Actually, after he ended up going to prison, of course, I talked to him for probably a month after that, but then, I moved on, and that's actually when I started getting really heavy into escorting, and that's when I started seeing, lots and lots of money, and, and just the houses and the cars that came with it all, and that lasted for about a year. And then one day it was like, I couldn't do it anymore.
I know that it was a luxurious life and everything. And I understand the escorting part. I can relate we're all introduced to it, especially if you've had difficult circumstances, if you're challenged or you're vulnerable. And mm-hmm. I don't know what your experience was, but fortunately, thanks to God, I was not escorting on the street with a pimp. I was flying to Chicago, and it was mainly businessmen, and the money was just a source for paying my attorneys not to lose my daughter, but then I would justify it in my mind. Thinking, because I didn't want to feel bad about it, so I would justify it thinking, well, these are lonely men that for some reason I'm helping them, I'm fulfilling their need, and they're helping me keep my daughter. So that's how I was able to justify it. But there comes a point in time that there's nothing that works anymore. You just can't do it anymore. It's not the life for anyone.
Yeah.
And Yes, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
How long did you do the escorting before you said, I can't do this anymore, even though you were living a luxurious life and it seemed.
It was only about a year. So it's been since 2008, 2009, since I left that lifestyle. But even after that, I would still date, not very good men. And actually the
bad
turning
guys.
Point for me was, okay. So actually let's back up the truck a little bit. I don't know what year it would have been, but my daughter was 8 years old. She's 18 now. So yeah, about 10 years ago, I remember walking in on her. She was in her bedroom sitting on the bed with tears streaming down her face. And I was like, why are you crying? And she's like, because Jesus died for our sins. And back then, I was still in darkness, so I didn't really think anything of what she was saying. But I know that now that my life has changed, that was one of the seeds planted to get, me to where I am today. So then fast forward, when she was 13, which, would have been around 2014, we were driving in the car and she looked over at me and she's like, why do you date the kind of guys you date? And I literally, I couldn't say anything. I just kept a straight face, but I was speechless. I was like, but you know what? She's right. This is coming from a 13-year-old kid. And she's just looking at me an old little lady, get your life together already.
You mean to tell me your kid was suffering on Jesus's behalf for dying for our sins? What an amazing little girl. And I believe that maybe God used her. And
definitely.
It's through the mouths of babes that are the words of wisdom. Sometimes homeless people. Sometimes the people you least expect.
Mm-hmm.
And that
was actually the turning point right there is, you know, I haven't dated anyone since then, or, you know, I haven't drank since then. That was like the actual, like, you know, the word.
So your daughter,
your
daughter was the catalyst to your success.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking to Kristen about how anyone can be saved by grace, even those that of us that least expect it. Please call if you have a friend who you have or have been saved by grace. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, that's 866-348-7884. We would love to hear from you. I'm Amy Cabo.
Right,
this is The Cure.
It's Amy Cabo and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. You can listen to us every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app, The Cure, on Roku, The Cure Channel, GodIsTheCure.com, or later as a podcast. I know that God is only one thought away. I do think about him daily. No therapy can fix what's going on. It's gonna have to be love that I'm running on. And there is no other way to see it. We are connected. At least this time I want to stay. I love that song. It's so true. We are continuing our conversation with Kristen about being saved by grace. Kristen, we were talking earlier, we left off that your daughter was the most important life experience that you believe that shaped you into who you are now. As was mine, by the way. My daughter helped me with my life.
Wow.
And it's funny how God does that. He knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, and exactly how we need it. Kind of complicated, mm-hmm. Only he knows. But
anyhow,
I know that once I turned my life around and I decided to do the right thing, my lifestyle changes. I had some common practices that I found helpful during the healing process. What common practices did you find helpful in your healing process when you realized that you were going to turn your life around and live an exemplary life for your daughter?
Well, really after that, I just started praying like to God. I'm like, God, you know, please get me away from these men that I'm dating. Please get me away from this music that I'm listening to. And it's like, I saw that he was removing that want and desire out of my life. So it really just, you know, started making me think that, whoa, you know, like me praying, and because I knew I couldn't do it by my own strength, but it was like, you know, me praying and asking for those things to happen, they did, you know, because I no longer want and desire the things that I wanted back then. And you know, so little by little I just started.
So you must have prayed with faith. I mean, you must have really had faith, because I understand, because when I came to the point that I came to the point that I hit rock bottom, I had nothing at all. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I was told that if you ask God for help, he will help you. So I kind of put him through the test. I said, God, you have no other choice but to help me. I have no one. So here it goes. And you know what? Prayer is the most amazing thing. It really does move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe what prayer has done for me, how it's turned my life around, how it brings purpose into your life, how it opens up your eyes, how it gets you to see things clearly, how it helps you with your weaknesses and your shortcomings, how it helps you to become a better person, how it gets you to strive to be kinder. I mean, and you live a more peaceful life. Not necessarily an easier life, but you live more at peace, because with God in your life, nothing's scary, nothing's impossible, nothing's too challenging. It's just another learning lesson or another chance to show how much we can do or how much we love God. And and besides that, you know, there were support groups that can help. Personal growth is very important, like reading spiritual things and exercise and self-care, prayer, positive attitude, gratitude, going to church, a good listening friend, and staying away from bad influences. But to let you know, crying is okay. It's part of the healing process so that you don't have to have it bottled it up. You know, crying closet, some people think they might knock it. But hey, if you keep an open mind, it's not a bad idea. For those that don't like others seeing others, you know, for those that don't like others seeing them crying, that's a pretty secluded area to do it in, where they can cry quickly and get over it. And for those who want drama, there's no audience to give it to, so they'll get bored. Cry quickly and get over it also. It teaches strength.
I don't know. I'm a pretty emotional person. So.
Yeah, but think about it. But think about the crying closet idea, right? It teaches strength by encouraging it, by encouraging you to deal with it yourself. Just you in the closet.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's promoting independence. It's actually pretty considerate.
Okay.
But the whole idea is whether you cry in a closet or you cry with a friend, that's an important part of the healing process. And we all need to go through that. And when we face the reality of what's going on and we realize we need to change our life and we're faced with the truth, it can be difficult. It can hurt. And it takes work. But everything that takes work is worth doing. And before any wound could heal, it needs to hurt just a little bit first. And I think that's what happened with you, Kristen. Tell me, do you believe that your testimony, you having found your way back to Christ, even though you were lured into a dark lifestyle, do you feel that your testimony could provide a platform to influence society and help others?
You know, I'm just a vessel. God is going to use me the way he wants to use me. And to be quite honest, I was so ashamed of my past. And I was like, I'm never going to tell anybody about who I was or, you know, my new life with Christ. And then it was like, you know, he put it upon my heart that, no, I need you to tell your story so I can use you to help, you know, other people and bring them to the foot of the cross. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, I've come to a place where I'm at peace with what's happened in my life because the way my life is now, I want the world to know about Jesus and what he did for me.
And you have an incredible...
He can do it for them too.
You have an incredible story to tell, and that just comes to show that nothing happens by mistake. Everything happens for a reason. You are probably such a great person to tell this story. And you were probably able to move people or help people or influence people or let people know that they're not alone. So then you were able to use your circumstances to help others. And believe it or not, no regrets, because everything's a learning lesson. Believe it or not, this is something that you feel that has helped you grow and has made you who you are today. And it's a beautiful thing. There's nothing better than helping others. And if you can discover your purpose, if you can just look at your past as something that happened, and as horrible as it may be, because some of us have really horrible pasts, you can just realize that it's not forever, that it's not a life sentence, that everything passes, that the only thing that's forever the only thing that sticks around is God. He's the only one that will always be constant, no matter how your circumstances changed. And I can tell you that I felt very bad about my past too. And it was very hard to write my book. And I thought, God, people will think I'm such a bad person. They'll think I'm such a monster. That was a challenge for me too. And I was thinking to myself, but why is it? Why can't we share our experiences to help others? Because we don't want to talk about depressing things. We don't want to talk about bad things. And why is it bad? Why do we feel it bad to ourselves? Why is it that way? When if we get into a car accident or something different, we can talk about it. No big deal. It's nothing bad. But if it's abuse or if it's something that we've done that people will question, then we're ashamed of it. But we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should talk about it just the same. Because everyone, God gives everyone second chances. And everyone has a chance to change. Nobody is not able to be forgiven by God, no matter what you've done. God loves everyone. Yes, and He's there for everyone. And it's really great how we all come together at moments of triumph and no moments of tragedy, because we all share the same thing, one love. When we're back, we will continue talking to Kristen about being saved by grace. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure. We will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on the radio, on our app, The Cure, or Roku, The Cure Channel, or GodIsTheCure.com. This world is full of demons, bonds, and Bible traitors. So I do the deed. Are you ready for the sequel? Are you ready for the latest? Because as long as you're alive, it's never too late. It's never really over. And if you lose, boo-hoo, I guess if you go to hell, you'll be crying. That's why it's important to be praying for the faithless. In the Garden Evil, I'm going to be the greatest. But hey, look, Ma, I made it. Our Heavenly Mother, of course, not the one that doesn't care. We're joined by Kristen, talking about how anyone can be saved by grace, even those who least expect it. Kristen, not all of us make it. I wasn't expected to make it at all, being that I was abused in every way you can imagine, and raped, and everything, a lot of other things. But I came out, I feel blessed, and I could die right now and be happy. There's nothing more I want in life. But my brother, who's a year older than me, is homeless. And I think about him, and that is very sad. I've tried to help him, but he doesn't want any help. Kristen, when you hung around the people that were bad influences and things like that, did you come across a situation where you realized, hey, I need to do the right thing to save my life? This could be a very dangerous lifestyle. For example, when you were with the pimps and things like that, did you ever see someone else not do so well? Did it scare you?
I mean, honestly, no. It was never like oh my gosh, like I gotta, it was just more of like I'm tired of doing this, and the things that, you know, my daughter was saying to me that made me turn my life around. You know, just the kind of person that my daughter is, it's, You know, when she walks into a room, she lights up a room, and it's just like, I would just see this, a lot of people describe her as like an ambassador. She's always very neutral with everybody. And, you know, I would just watch this. I'm observing, you know, how the kind of person that she was. And it was just really like, you know, why am I being the kind of mother that I'm being? Because, you know, I wasn't around for her for the majority of her life, really up until like, yeah, the age of like 13. I was, you know, just doing whatever. So, I wanted to be a better mom and to love her. And I mean, we're like best friends today. So, and you know, when I finally told her, cause she didn't know what I was doing up until a few years ago, like I finally told her, you know, everything that was an escort. And I mean, she knows everything about me. And she just looked at me and she's like, you know, she's crying and I'm crying. And she's like, I don't care what you did in your past. You know, I love you. You're my mom, you know? And that's just like, you know, the
wow.
most,
that's incredible.
You know, it means so much to me. Cause you know, for someone to forgive like that, it's amazing.
That's incredible. God knew exactly what you needed in your life. And you're that little angel, your little girl saved your life. That is amazing. But understand also that you were young. You had her very young. You had her when you were 16. Don't feel bad about not really getting close to her until she was 13, because it sounds like both of you guys grew up together. And
I did have a lot of help from my family, though. You know, my family was trying to keep her away from like a lot of, you know, they would always take her because they'd rather her be with them than with me, you know, just because of the kind of people I was around, which I'm very grateful for that, you know, during that time that they were there. So
that is just such a nice thing to hear. Kristen, you are an inspiration. And your daughter, she's even more amazing. It's what we always hope for. We always want our kids to do better than us, right? And so now I'm learning to do things differently. It's not enough to take my daughter to a Catholic school. It's not enough to take her to church. It's not enough to pray, but we have to talk to our children. We have to talk to them when they're doing their little fifth grade gossip. Tell them, hey, you know, there's that little girl, does she know that she's being talked about? And don't you think that it's best to talk to the little girl personally? Do you think it's right that somebody else is talking about her? Do you want to be the peacemaker or do you want to divide? Why don't you talk to them about the peacemakers? And remember, when little girls say mean things and when they're being mean, little girls are never mean on purpose. There's something going on. Maybe what she really needs is a friend and somebody to be understanding. And so then you have to talk to them. And I don't think they listen so much in church. And who knows what they take home in Catholic school with so much academics. And the parents are the kids' biggest influence. In your case, your daughter was your biggest influence. And, but mm-hmm. What kind of things are you doing? Are you going to church now? Or do you, what kind of things do you do to try to stay close to God so that you don't fall back?
Well, actually in 2016, I ended up getting really ill and I was like homebound and bedridden for about a year. And that's when I ended up reading the Bible from front to back. And then once I became better, I ended up getting baptized and started, you know, going to church and volunteering with the kids up there and working within the church. So, you know, when I was sick, that's actually when I, you know, gave my life to Jesus and, you know, started forming a relationship.
So maybe you got maybe you got sick for a reason, because that's what brought you to the realization that you would heal by helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
So, and then, so then you started helping within the church. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, there's just a number of areas where you can work within the church, you know, whether it be the media area or with the kids.
What I'm trying to say is that the church, they knew about your past, right? And they were able to accept you anywhere you were.
Oh.
Did they know about things you... No.
No.
Okay. Maybe that was
a really big church. It's like 30,000 people, and I'm just like, you know, a little fly on the wall there, probably.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that was a good thing.
You know, they know my daughter, but a lot of people from my church follow me, but it's more of like my daughter's friends and stuff. They follow me on Twitter, but I haven't told the church my story besides, like, some people I work with, so I don't know. Maybe they told their people, but...
Maybe that's a good thing, because when my daughters found out about my story, I couldn't volunteer anymore. So, you know, so it's okay. Bobby's laughing.
Yeah.
Okay, smart one. You say something then.
No, it's true.
But you know what? I have to give credit to our husbands.
The thing is that people think that they're not judgmental, and they say they're not judgmental, but then they are.
Well, so. sometimes, even Catholics, believe it or not,
yeah.
And I'm Catholic, I'm allowed to say that.
Oh.
But you know what? That's what I wanted to bring out in this show. Is that all the things that you've talked about? You're a wonderful person. You're a beautiful person. You're empowering other women. You're helping others. And you know what? You hang around bad influences. You maybe did bad things. And it didn't matter. It doesn't mean you are a bad person. And it doesn't mean you can't turn your life around. And it's a great example of you never know. Just because it looks this way doesn't mean it's necessarily so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how old is your daughter now?
She's 18. She just turned 18 a couple months ago. So I actually just dropped her off at college out of town last week. So...
Nice.
Getting used to the empty nester life.
Wow. Amazing. That's really, really great. Kristen, you're an amazing person. You know that. Thank you, Kristen, so much for being with us. And God bless
you for having
on
me.
Your journey.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Let's pray. Loving God, I pray that you will comfort me in my suffering, lend skill to the hands of my healers, and bless the means used for my cure. Give me such confidence in the power of your grace, that even when I'm afraid, I may put my whole trust in you. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Stay safe for the hurricane. And please don't forget to pray, though, for those that are affected by Hurricane Dorian.
Or maybe.
Well, Miami was spared.
Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll wait and see, right? Wait and see. And remember, guys, we're live every Saturday.
With Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the answer, God is the cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.